Vaksharai. By the harsh words. Binena. Being very much aggrieved. Yataha. Went. Hridayena. Because his heart. Duyata. Very much pained. Vanam. To the forest. Mat adisha. According to my instruction. Karaha. Acting. Ajitam. Unconquerable. Prabhum. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jigaya. He defeated. Tat. His. Bhakta. Of devotees. Gunai. With the qualities. Parajitam. Conquered. The great sage Narada continued. Just see how Dhruva Maharaj, aggrieved at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years and under my direction underwent austerity. Sri Bhadrabalava, who let you out? Hey, well, welcome. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees. Purport. The Supreme Godhead is unconquerable. Ajita. No one can conquer the Lord, but he voluntarily accepts subordination to the devotional qualities of his devotees. For example, Lord Krishna accepted subordination to the control of Mother Yashoda because she was a great devotee. The Lord likes to be under the control of his devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that everyone comes before the Lord and offers him exalted prayers. But the Lord does not feel as pleased when offered such prayers as he does when a devotee, out of pure love, chastises him as a subordinate. The Lord forgets his exalted position and willingly submits to his pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj conquered the Supreme Lord because at a very tender age, only 5 years old, he underwent all the austerities of devotional service. This devotional service was, of course, executed under the direction of a great sage, Narada. This is the first principle of devotional service. Ado Guruv Ashrayam. In the beginning, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master as Dhruva Maharaj followed the instruction of Narada Muni. Then it is not difficult for him to achieve the favour of the Lord. The sum total of devotional qualities is development of unalloyed love for Krishna. This unalloyed love for Krishna can be achieved simply by hearing about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya accepted this principle that if one in any position submissively hears the transcendental message spoken by Krishna or about Krishna, then gradually he develops the quality of unalloyed love, and by that love only he can conquer the unconquerable. The Mayavadi philosophers aspire to become one with the Supreme Lord, but a devotee surpasses that position. Not only does a devotee become one in quality with the Supreme Lord, but he sometimes becomes the father, mother, or master of the Lord. Arjuna also, by his devotional service, made Lord Krishna his chariot driver. He ordered the Lord, "Put my chariot here," and the Lord executed his order. These are some examples of how a devotee can acquire the exalted position of conquering the unconquerable. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, first point is that Krishna is unconquerable. Yet, at the same time, he is conquered by the love and affection, the bhakti that is displayed by his devotees, the affection. Prabhupada's given us some examples. Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, who Krishna agreed to be bound up by. And of course, there's the description of the pastime of Damodara Leela, wherein Mother Yashoda wanted to tie up Krishna because he was being very naughty. Children at a certain age can be very naughty and uncontrollable, and so therefore parents sometimes tie them up, right? You know, like we sometimes put a leash on a dog. I remember when I was a kid, my mum used to put me in a little and then hold on to the leash. Keep the children under control, right? So Krishna was being very naughty, so he was at an age where he needed to be tied up. Usually it's for our own good. So Mother Yashoda got some rope and tried it, but every time she tried to tie up Krishna, the rope was always 2 fingers short. Right? Despite the fact that she'd gathered all of the rope in Vrindavan, she still couldn't put it around Krishna and tie him up. And it's said, as described by the Acharyas, that those 2 fingers represent 2 things. There's the effort of the devotee, right? The endeavor. Just like we might think that just by walking down the street we can become self-realized. You know, just it's like a miracle happens and then all of a sudden, I'm self-realized. But generally speaking, we know it doesn't work. The process of self-realization requires some effort on the part of the devotee. Right? Some effort or endeavor is required. But when I think about it, the endeavor of the devotee is required, but that's not enough. But as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyitam mam prapanjate, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Right? So there's the effort of the devotee that's required, but it is not sufficient, or it's not enough to achieve perfection. One also has to approach Krishna in such a way that he will become, he will give his mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, we can try as hard as we like, and we won't, just like we were discussing the other day with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, that one cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha by one's own endeavours. One needs an invitation. And interesting, Prabhupada mentions in that purport that the endeavour that pleases him, is by working for the benefit of others. And of course, that's the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, and of course of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that the Sankirtan movement is meant for our spiritual advancement, for our spiritual benefit, but it is our spiritual practice, our devotional practices, are especially attractive to Krishna when we give that opportunity to practice devotional service, to re-establish, and that's for establishing our relationship with Krishna. When we give that opportunity to others, and so the sacrifice is not just for our personal spiritual advancement, but our personal spiritual advancement, especially in the context of the Sankirtan mission or the Sankirtan movement, is perfected when we make that practice of bhakti focused, or we focus that practice of bhakti on giving that opportunity to others. That's considered to be the greatest welfare work. And when one performs one's devotional service with the mood or with the attitude of pleasing Krishna by bringing others to him, then Krishna is attracted to that mood, that selflessness, because automatically we'll be liberated as a consequence. So, in one sense, that's our endeavour, that's our practice of bhakti. But we see, it's dependent upon our effort, but our effort alone is not enough. We need to focus that effort in such a way so that it is pleasing and thereby, or therefore, attractive to Krishna. So, how did Dhruva Maharaj conquer the Supreme Lord? Can anybody remember what Prabhupada highlights in the purport? How did he attract Krishna's attention? Yes. So this is, so the first principle, right? Ado Guruvashrayam, or Rupa Goswami, was it? Ado Gurupad Ashraya. Right? The first thing we need to do is take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And if we do that, Prabhupada says here, if a devotee follows strictly the direction of the spiritual master as Dhruva Maharaj followed the instruction of Narada Muni, then it is not difficult for him to achieve the favour of the Lord. What? Not difficult. How many months did it take Dhruva Maharaj to get the darshan of Lord Narayan? 6 months. Huh? Mm, okay, easy. Because we have the darshan of Krishna every day. We don't realize it sometimes. We think, I want to see Krishna, but we're already seeing Krishna. In our japa, in our kirtan, in darshan, prasadam, this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, is that he's basically surrounded us with Krishna. And so we get Krishna every day by the dollop. You know what a dollop is? Dollops of halva, yeah. Dollops of halva. Yeah. So, and of course, and this is our system also. Guru Ado Guru Padasraya in ISKCON. We're teaching the disciple course again. And our process is to encourage everybody to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada in the first minimum 6 months that a devotee comes in contact with an aspiring or a potential devotee comes in contact with the devotees, then our business is to connect them to Srila Prabhupada. Why Srila Prabhupada wrote so many books, why he gave so many lectures, why he set up the society in such a way that he did, is so that we can connect with him as the founder acharya. Each one of us has a unique relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So that's our beginning, is to connect to Srila Prabhupada. And he's the unifying principle under which we can all take shelter. So not very difficult when you think about it. We follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps by... in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, what's the statement in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? The first written statement of the Bhagavatam, the book. What is it? He lives forever by his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. Right? This is the beginning of the Bhagavatam. So the way that we please Krishna is by surrendering to Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON. And that's attractive to Krishna. Just as Dhruva Maharaja's surrender to Narada Muni endeared him to Krishna. So similarly, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and because of that surrender or that shelter or that endeavour, and the endeavour is in following the instructions, right? Following the instructions and inquiring. How to practice devotional service. Then one becomes... Srila Prabhupada was very dear to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why? Because he followed his instructions. And he was empowered also. Because of that faith in the order of his guru, then Srila Prabhupada was empowered to do so much on behalf of his spiritual master. So similarly also, if we follow that example that Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated for us, that faith in the order of the spiritual master, then we'll also attract Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada would say, you know, I'm simply repeating the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, if you do the same thing, then you'll be similarly empowered. Of course, none of us are going to be empowered to the degree that Srila Prabhupada. You know, he has a unique position. But each one of us can, by wholeheartedly surrendering to Prabhupada's instructions, can gain Krishna's attention and Krishna's mercy, and also be empowered to some. We are vibhinamsa, right? Means little. But given some potency by Krishna, this is vibhinamsa. Svamsa, expansion of Krishna, means full of Krishna's potencies. Whose birthday is coming up soon? Huh? Krishna's birthday. Well, before Krishna's birthday. Balaram. Yeah, and he's a svamsa expansion of Krishna. Actually non-different from Krishna, just the form is different. So full power in Balaram. So much power. Huh? Ananta Sesha Mahavishnu Garbha Dakasai Vishnu, Garana Dakasai Vishnu, Chira Dakasai, they're all expansions. Sesha is the expansion of Krishna who manifests all of the things in the spiritual world. His expansion of Lord Balaram. Plus all of the facilities that are provided in the material world by the Vishnus. Mahavishnu expands, or Karana Dakasai Vishnu expands all of the universes from the breathing, from his breathing. And then he enters again as Garbha Dakasai Vishnu, from whom the lotus flower, right, comes from his belly. This is why the Garbha Daka. Garbha means belly. Lord Balaram is doing all of these amazing things through his different expansions, endowed with the potency of creation, maintenance, and destruction. That's the notion or the idea of God for most people, right? God creates everything, maintains everything, then ultimately destroys it all. So Lord Balaram is a svamsa expansion with all of the potencies of Krishna. Whereas we are we've got a little bit of power given to us by Krishna. So when we dedicate that power or that energy that's been endowed upon us in the service of the spiritual master in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, and our initiating and Diksha and Siksha gurus, then Krishna is inclined towards the devotee who accepts that process. You know, Krishna demonstrates the importance of taking shelter of a spiritual master by himself taking a spiritual master. Krishna's God. He doesn't need to take shelter of anybody. Right? But just to demonstrate the importance of taking shelter of the spiritual master, he accepts a guru. And under his guidance is trained or is given instruction and guidance. So, Prabhupada says here, this is the first principle of devotional service. And you can imagine here, 5 years old, he was only 5 years old. So, you know, just like our affection naturally flows towards these young fellows, right? Sometimes. Affection has two sides, you know, there's two sides of affection. There's a hut, and there's also the love for another, you know. But sometimes affection is manifest in... We don't appreciate it, necessarily. Even for ourselves, sometimes Krishna has to correct us. This is what the material energy is designed in such a way so that sometimes we feel the pinch, right? But that's for our benefit, actually. You know, if everything was, if there were no problems and everything was just a bed of roses, then we would just be bewildered into thinking, oh, I'm the doer and I'm so good and I'm so special and I'm so powerful. No? I'm such a wonderful devotee. But Krishna, through the material energy, corrects us and gives us a pinch to remind us, to make us humble, actually. And this is the quality of a devotee, is humility. Actually, humility is a sign of learning. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. So, this is the beginning. Ado Guru Vasrayam. In the beginning, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. And if we follow strictly, it is not difficult to achieve the favour of the Lord, Prabhupada says here. So, if we take shelter of the instructions of the spiritual master and perform our devotional service strictly in that, within those parameters, then gradually, we will develop unalloyed love for Krishna. So we're always thinking of Krishna and constantly engaged in Krishna's service. And it begins with hearing. Right? This beginning, the beginning of devotional service is hearing. Sravanadi sudachite karaye udoy. The natural affection for Krishna, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it exists in everybody's heart. Nitya siddha. The eternal perfection of Krishna Prem, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sadhya Kabunai. By the process of sadhana bhakti, Shravanadi, which begins with hearing, Sudha Chitte purifies our consciousness. This is why Prabhupada established the Srimad Bhagavatam as part of our daily practice, as part of our daily. It's our sadhana. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, it says, by studying the Bhagavatam, it's our very means of conquest. Right? It's a means of conquest. Hearing regularly the Srimad Bhagavatam. Among other things. The process of devotional service is multifaceted. One is able to develop Srimbatam Sva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, great pious deeds, pious activities are performed by this very simple process of just hearing the Bhagavatam regularly. We practice listening, we practice hearing. And by that hearing, what is it? Satam prasangam mama virya sambido. There's great potency and power. Krishna says, mama virya, my shakti exists in the satam prasangam, in the association of the sat. The sattvatas, right? Those who are interested in cultivating an understanding of the absolute truth. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti hritkana rasayana kata. So the Krishna kata is like the bhakti rasayanam. It's the medicine, the rasa, right? We drink with our ears. And by that drinking of the bhakti rasa, one becomes purified. Srimbatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. What's the next line? Hridiyantasto vidunoti suritsatam. By the regular hearing of the Bhagavatam, the abhadrani, the abhadra, the inauspicious things that's sitting in the heart get purified. Hiya badrani vidunoti suhritsatam. So, taking shelter of the spiritual master, following his instructions, then Prabhupada points out here, if we want to develop unalloyed, and that means pure devotion, right? Unalloyed or anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kama yana vritam. So devoid of desire for profit and devoid of a desire for the cultivation of knowledge, a desire Krishna anushilanam, the activities that are pleasing to Krishna, developing that mentality, that mood, and that's done by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, because we see in the Bhagavatam the examples of the devotees, even in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was somewhat, we can say, materially motivated, right? But even if we're materially motivated, if we apply ourselves to the process of bhakti, then gradually that the material desires that exist within the heart will be purified. In one sense, not one sense, they don't go together. And you know, in the beginning we become devotees and we think, yes, I'm actually a pretty wonderful devotee. Huh? Then after a while we realise, what's going on here? I'm not as wonderful as I thought I was. In fact, as time progresses, I discover that I'm worse than I thought I was. Much, much worse. And of course this is the mercy of the association of the devotees and the mercy of hearing. If one in any position, and of course this is taken from the Bhagavatam, this is from Lord Brahma's, the prayers of Lord Brahma, where he says that, you know, the unconquerable can become conquered. Right? And how do we conquer the unconquerable? By this hearing process. Pretty simple, really, when you think about it. Gradually he develops the quality of unalloyed love, and by that love he can conquer the unconquerable. So Srila Prabhupada has distilled all of this into some very essential activities that are practiced within ISKCON. And this regular hearing of the message of the Bhagavat. The Bhagavat book and the Bhagavat devotee. Is how we serve. Regularly hearing the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshava bhadreshu nitya sevam. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. So regular service by hearing, and also regular service to the Bhagavat, to the devotee. And practically everything that we do within ISKCON is that service. Preaching, basically. Teaching, distributing transcendental knowledge, demonstrating accha and pracha. Setting a good example, and then teaching others, speaking to others. In that way, rendering service to Srila Prabhupada, ultimately, working cooperatively to preach, hearing the message of the Bhagavatam, these activities gradually purify our heart. And gradually, unalloyed or pure bhakti will naturally arise. Sravanadi sudachite karaye udoy. It'll naturally arise up within the heart. Do you see how merciful Srila Prabhupada is? How merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in providing us with a very simple process of self-realization. And it doesn't matter what position you're in. This Lord Brahma says it doesn't matter. You don't have to change your position. Right? We don't have to change our ashrama or our varna, our occupation. We don't have to change these things. This is the potency of the bhakti process. You don't have to change your material position, you know, because sometimes people think, oh, we've got to go to the forest. Right? Or I've got to get rid of this entanglement. Wife and kids. I don't know. We don't have to do that. We just follow the basic bhakti practice. Rise early in the morning, go to Mangala Arati, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deities, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, of course, preach. Really, this is our yoga practice. And even I say, we say it's easy, it's simple, but it isn't that easy. Simple maybe, but not easy. Because we're complicated. Or maybe not. We might like to think we're complicated. Actually, we're just mixed up. That's all. So, but we don't have to change anything. Drastically change anything. We need to add in add the bhakti, basically, and it'll naturally arise within the heart of those who regularly perform their sadhana, and part of that sadhana is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in that way, then our mood, our mentality will become like Krishna's. You know, if we're associating with somebody like Srila Prabhupada on a daily basis, then what will happen? We'll become like Prabhupada. What is it? Sangat sanjayate kama, right? So this is what happens. We associate with the devotees and then we become like them. depending on how much we let that happen, of course, or we're hanging on tightly to all of our misconceptions. But gradually we have to give them up. We will give them up, because that's how this process works. It's not very complicated, actually. And then by that association, by that service attitude, service mood, then gradually that Krishna Anushilanam, natural affection for Krishna and service to Krishna, and within bhakti, service to others, that inclination or that desire to encourage others. You know, if you're doing something and you're inspired by it, then you'll naturally want to tell others about it and you want to share it with them. And so the natural release that we experience from our past karmas, from the reactions of our past misdeeds, that release that we feel from the influence of the material energy is inspiring. It inspires us. And so naturally we'll share it with others. This is a natural feature of bhakti, in that one doesn't keep it from one to oneself, but one wants to give it, naturally wants to give it to others. If you're having a good time, then what do? You tell others, hey, I had a good time. I remember when we used to go to school when I was five, I guess it was five or six, you know, and we'd stand around. I used to feel like I was missing out because my friends would talk about the television they watched the night before. Right? But we didn't have a television, so I felt like I was missing out. But I said, oh, yeah, did you see this? Did you see that? Right? So naturally, if you're having a good, not that they're having a good time necessarily, but, you know, the principle is there. You talk about what you do. You want to share it. It's inspiring to you, so you want to inspire others. And of course, that's very pleasing to Krishna also. It's the essence of the Sankirtan movement. And so in that way, one, especially in this age of Kali, this is the means by which we are blessed by Krishna. And of course, you know, sometimes the devotees say, yes, if you're a book distributor, you know, then you're the best devotee. Right? Or you're on Harinam, oh, you're the best devotee. But, you know, the person who's cleaning the pots is also the best devotee. Right? Or even I was looking at, I mentioned this the other day, I was looking at Money Grievers training the bullocks to pull logs around a farm, right? And you know, they can't even speak, but just by that activity, people are attracted to seeing animals work, right? I said to Achintya Rupa, these will be the best preachers, right? People will be attracted to the fact that Money Grievers got bullocks working the land. So that's preaching too. Right? So many, much, the fact that we work together cooperatively to build a community of devotees, that's preaching, right? The behaviour. Very often it's not so much what you say even, right? Although that helps. It's part of it. But also just the way we behave is preaching. And that endears us to Krishna. We see in the pastime of the prachetas, and how Lord Vishnu came to give them his blessings because of the love and affection that was shared between them. That was pleasing to Krishna. And so Lord Vishnu, because of their cooperative mood and their sharing of their devotional practices, then the Lord appeared. And he said, whatever, because of your cooperative mood, ask any what benediction would you like? So, by the process of bhakti, following in the footsteps, you know, we're following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who is very dear to Krishna, we can also be dear to Krishna and develop that unalloyed love and affection for Krishna very simply, naturally, not very difficult. And so that way, as Prabhupada points out here, one becomes one with Krishna and one may even become apparently better than Krishna. As we see here with Arjuna, he tells Krishna what to do. Krishna's probably not going to put us in, not let us get in that position. It's too dangerous. This is very advanced, actually, this. And you know, I think of that story of Bhishma Dev. You know, Bhishma Dev was such a great devotee that he was able to get Krishna to break his promise, right? You see how powerful he is. Because, you know, we're trying to think, how can Bhishma Dev, how can somebody please Krishna by fighting him? Right? This is what he's doing. Right? Let's just see. He pleased Krishna even by that fighting mood. Okay, so does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? How do you know?
100% of
Krishna. How do we know?
Any parameters we know, you can
guess. You be happy. You'll be happy. That's the first test. Susukam kartam avyayam. And if we hang on to things other than Krishna, we'll be unhappy. Huh? Anybody experienced that? Yeah, I think, you know, we have the great opportunity to be fully satisfied pretty much in whatever we do. So, you know, when you go to bed at night, you just go, and that's it. You're happy and there's no, it's Vaikuntha, right? You're in Vaikuntha. No worries. Huh? So that's the best. It's not a difficult test, I don't think. He does. He mentioned unalloyed. So that means no mixed up with anything other than what is pleasing to Krishna. That's what we should do. And at least for me personally, it means chanting Hare Krishna, getting up early, chanting Hare Krishna, before the sun comes up. Usually that's a good idea. That's a good idea. At least for me, that's pretty much essential for happiness in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, there's always going to be problems. There's always problems. But and that's the nature of the material world. And you can't solve all of the problems. Most problems are managed, never solved. But if we approach it with that mood of service, free from any personal consideration, and of course, we were discussing this with Keshav the other day. On the one hand, we're supposed to be full on, you know, divrena bhakti jogena. But on the other hand, we're also supposed to be a little bit relaxed as well. Right? Not too full on, but not too relaxed either. And what does Krishna say? Yuktahara viharasya. Right? So regulated. Yuktahara viharasya. Yukta kama sachetasu. Yukta svapnavabodasya. Yogo bhavati dukkaha. So we want to get rid of the miseries of material existence. Then we lead a fairly ordered and structured life, regulated. And for us, we're elevated to that transcendental platform just by following the sadhana process. So what's that? Go to bed early, get up early, worship the spiritual master, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deities, hear the Bhagavatam, take prasadam. What do you reckon? And then maybe have a snooze afterwards. Right? And, you know, study Prabhupada's books. Preach, teach, manage, whatever it is. Actually, you know, whatever it is you're doing, that's what you do. But you do it for Krishna. On the basis of that, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the philosophy, then we go out and do the same things, right? The man next door is doing the same things. But we're doing it for Krishna. Our consciousness is in the spiritual world, and he's doing it for who knows what reason. And he's bewildered. He's bewildered and suffering. We may be suffering, but we're able to transcend that, because in the material world, nobody is not suffering, right? Even the person who's so-called enjoying, he's suffering. So, unalloyed. And we develop that unalloyed devotion gradually, you know. Sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, shanai, shanai, uparamet. Gradually. And that's why, you know, this process is very powerful, actually, and especially that chanting of Hare Krishna on a daily basis. You know, you're just cleaning, day in, day out, month in, month out. And gradually, over time, that natural affection for Krishna comes out. And we need adol shraddha. We need to have the faith. We need to have that faith that what Prabhupada has given us is sufficient, actually. Not question it or doubt it, but wholly embrace those practices. And of course, when we do that, then we see the efficacy. We see it work. We feel it. That's why Prabhupada says, you know, you have to put your finger in a honey jar and get the honey out and then lick it. You can't imagine, you can't speculate, you can't do anything but absorb yourself in that process to feel its benefits and to feel its effects. And that's what we do. That's why we keep doing what we're doing. There's a Christian saying, or from the Bible, the peace of God passeth all understanding. Right. So, you know, you can't imagine what the devotees are feeling. You can't speculate or create an idea of what it is. You've got to do it. And we do it. That's why we keep coming back for more. Because we know there's nothing better. Well, nothing more satisfying. Even if we're not doing it right, sometimes we still keep coming back. Oh, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? Let me chant Hare Krishna and let me render service to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, basically, and to the devotees. Let me just render service. And what I think, you know, what we're looking, the key, even Prabhupada says, the key is humility. Huh? The key is humility. And Prabhupada, is that pastime with one of his godbrothers, Prabhupada, said, you know, I've got the formula. Trinadupi suniche na torori vasa hishnuna. Amanadena. Kirtani asada hari. That's what we're looking for, that humble, that humility to keep chanting, to keep practicing. And even sometimes we don't have that, not sometimes, most of the time, speaking for myself anyway, not humility, no humility, and so therefore it becomes a struggle. Right? So that's what we're looking for, that humility to be a devotee. And through that then comes great torrents of nectar, right? And then we think, wow, this is so good. Why don't I feel like this all the time? And that's usually because of pride. We don't. Anything else? Even
plowing a field.
What was
plowing a field?
Oh, plowing a field, yeah, or sweeping the courtyard.
Yeah, even that could be a preaching activity.
It is. Yeah.
And you don't have to speak, but just.
Why did Srila Prabhupada want us? What was the? What's the? To live a simpler, more natural way of life is one of our purposes of ISKCON. Right? To live a more simple, natural way of life. So that's, you know, without motor cars, without iPhones, or, you know, without so much technology. I was just reading an article. The technology that we're using is changing our brains, changing the way we think. And I think, from my experience, not for the better, for the worse. I can't do anything without looking at my phone. As if, you know, looking at your phone tells you what you should do. But everybody knows that good ideas do not come out of phones. Huh? Good ideas come from putting the phone away, just chant Hare Krishna. Hear the Bhagavatam. Then you'll get some good ideas. Right? I know this for myself, you know, I've got so addicted to just sitting down in front of my computer, and then I think, what the hell am I doing here? Look at email. Huh? Prabhupada managed to do so much without any of these things. Even he didn't use the telephone that much, he just wrote letters to people. But yes, more natural way of life is very appealing, very attractive. Growing your own food, So if we can demonstrate at least this is how you do it, this is the idea, right? This is how you do it. And of course you'll be busy and it'll be hard work, right? But we'll be living in a far more satisfying environment. But how many here would like to go and live at the farm? Yeah, like to. Like the idea of. But how many of you are going to, you know, abandon your apartment or your house in Albert Park to go and live at Hare Krishna Valley? How many of us are going to do that, actually? We're more concerned about the high school that our children go to, right? Aren't we? And the university that they end up in. Even though we know that that didn't make us happy, we think, yeah, that's what you should do. Huh? And I say to the devotees, you know, I joined the Hare Krishna movement because I was attracted to living on a farm and growing my own food and, you know, living a spiritual life. But what happened? They sent me out on the street to sell books and incense and stickers and candles and paintings and cookies and t-shirts. And then they said, now you've got to manage a temple. And I wanted to live on the land and grow food and live naturally. Anyway, maybe next lifetime I'll get that opportunity. The pious people like Bunny Griever get to do that. But actually, you know, it's not so easy. It's actually not easy to live on a farm and work the land and just work with the cows and so forth. We need microwaves and radio waves and stuff like that going through our bodies to feel normal, you know. If we go to live on the farm, we think, oh, what's going on here? This is something not right, something missing. Huh? But even still, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to be in the cities and with the where the people are. Right? That's right. Yeah, that's why we're here. That's why we may forego living on the farm. As tough as it is, we'll forego living on the farm. And we'll live in the city, but we'll establish, you know, temples like this, places like this. Doesn't have to be a temple necessarily, but any place where we can come together and satam prasangam, mamavirya sambhido, by coming together, chanting Hare Krishna, study the Bhagavatam, worship Krishna, then Krishna manifests in that setting. And we know that. People come, walk in the front gate and they say, as soon as I walked in the front gate, I noticed this is a different place. This place has shakti. We can't put our finger on it. But we know when we walk in the back gate or we come in the front gate, then immediately we're in this setting. Even though we haven't left the material world, physically, in terms of consciousness and in terms of, you know, mentality, we've shifted out of the material world into the spiritual realm, and that's effectively that's Prabhupada's great one of his great gifts to us, and his shakti potency is that he created these places of spiritual potency. Well, a tirtha. It's a tirtha. And we've got that quote on the notice board. Prabhupada says, this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. This is Vaikuntha. And it's that mood, that surrender. Guru Pad Asraya, or Guru Ado Guru Vasrayam. In the beginning, it's surrendering to the Guru and all of the things that entails. And ploughing the fields. Right? There's a lot. Actually, everything. Everything that we can do can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Should be. Must be. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Very well.